The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Psalm 111 says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." I hope you're doing that, not just a half a heart, not part of it, but your whole heart, that God would just permeate your life. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you on Exploring the Word on Fire Away Friday. Alex, we love every day, but there's something special about when we have Fire Away Friday, isn't there?
It is. I often tell people, I'll say, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, well, now's your chance. We'll take your Bible questions, and we'll do our very best to give you a biblical, factual answer.
As best we can. That number, some of you have it on speed dial, but it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Alex, you know, what makes Exploring the Word Bible teaching a little different? We have other ministries that teach the Bible and preach the Word. We're not sitting with only one, but ours is different in the sake that it's two people discussing it, trying to discuss it in a way. And each of us have our own thoughts and bring it to the table. And then really what makes it different is the last part of it. They get to ask questions about what we've been teaching. Now, that's always good. And I've been with you at some of our gatherings that you and I have been together, and I've noticed this, even in person, some of your favorite things is to have a Q&A at the end of it, brother.
Well, yeah, the Q&A is really fun. And, you know, we've got some stuff coming up. Bert and I, next year, we're going to be in Oklahoma City. I'm pretty excited about that. And, you know, looking forward, I know this is the fourth quarter, and, you know, your church calendar is probably filled in for the rest of this year, and I hope it is anyway.
But late, if not, yeah.
Yeah. In 2017, the second half of 2017, and then looking even into 2018, you know, if you'd like to do an event with Bert and myself, and what we'll do, we'll come to your town, we'll do Exploring the Word live from your church or your town, and then we'll do an event together. We've done several of these, and most recently in September, Bert and I, just by the grace of God, because the dear people of Fayetteville were organizing and working, you know, we had 3,000 people for a prayer rally, and Bert and I did the show from a venue, and then we had a big outdoor event. And so, you know, reach out to us. We got one string on our banjo, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
For the United States.
Yeah, you don't want Bert to come in and make a lecture on some economic. That's Dan Celia. You don't want Bert to come in and do something like on the issues of the day. That's Brian Fisher. If Bert comes in, it's going to be the Word of God proclaimed. I tell folks, I'm not a speech maker. I am a preacher and teacher,
well,
and I love
true.
To do that. But hey, brother, they can contact us at Alex McFarland, alexmcfarland.com, and Alex does that, and he schedules those for us. He connects with me, and we got one in Oklahoma City, but we would especially like to have one at the latter part of the year, and you and I doing that together would be a blessing. So keep that in mind. And Alex, we got folks already on the line. Anything you want to say before we go to the phone lines, brother?
Yeah, as we go to the phone lines, and by the way, the number is 888-589-8840, pray for revival.
Amen.
And, you know, we're looking toward Thanksgiving a week from Thursday. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. We've got so much to be thankful for. And Bert, I have found that personal revival, and just to get our heart right before God, when you've got an attitude of gratitude and you count your blessings, and you think of so many more things to thank the Lord for, you're going to find yourself revived.
Way to go, Alex. How many times I have said I've never seen a spirit-filled Christian that did not have an attitude of gratitude. They go together. And if you want to start walking in the Spirit, I can tell you, you start with being saved, make sure you're born again, and then develop that attitude. You remember over in Romans chapter 1, when it starts down that path to a reprobate mind, there's a passage in there, it's 18 or 21, it says, and neither were they thankful. That's the whole attitude. And I know God is on the throne, and I praise God for that, but sometimes things are difficult and hard for people. But I just share with you, find something. Find, you know, what Bill Stafford, evangelist, said. You need to know anything above hell is grace. Be Amen. Thankful for that, at least. So a good word about Thanksgiving, and a great, great thank you, Alex, for that.
Well, where do we go first?
We're going to Arkansas, and we're going to talk to Tim. Tim, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to each one of you, and I just had a couple things. First a praise. You guys are continually, you and Alex and the rest of the AFR crew just kind of are spiritually bombarding me from every angle, helping me grow as a Christian, and I really appreciate it. And Alex, you said something yesterday on the radio that kind of, you know, every once in a while, you say something that blows my mind, and yesterday was...
Hey, listen, Tim, you're not by yourself. He blows mine, too, sometimes. go ahead, man.
Okay. So, Alex, you said something about, since we're Christians, eternity actually begins right now. We're living the first part of eternity right here on Earth, and I passed that along to my kids yesterday and just wanted to help them grow. So that's a praise there for you guys. And then the other one was I bought your book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. And so I was encouraging my kids at the breakfast table before we go to school, always say a word and kind of study a little bit. And he asked a question, but he asked a question on heaven and what heaven was like. And I couldn't find anything that pertained to that in the book. So I wanted to call, and boy, I got in and wondered if you could address that.
Go ahead, Alex.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for listening to the show. God bless you in your walk and witness. And my brother, you're doing the most important work in the world, which is grooming your children in the ways of the Lord. And we commend you, and we're rooting for you. And thank you for buying my book and listening to this program, and just thank you all kinds of ways. Heaven, you know, it's interesting. We had hundreds of questions. We interviewed a lot of families for that book that became the 21 Toughest Questions book, and then the video that we did with American Family Studios. Children ask questions about heaven a lot of times, maybe on the passing of a grandparent. And what will it be like? And will I see grandma again? And things like that. And I think it's important, and Bert, you can chime in if you'd like, to speak, you know, very factually. Because, you know, kids can get it. I will tell you, in that late childhood, that let's say 4 through 7 to 8, they're very concrete black and white thinkers. And, you know, to say simple things but factual things, heaven is where God is, and those who love the Lord are going to be in heaven, and grandma loved the Lord, and yes, we will see her again, and she's so happy now, and she wouldn't want us to be sad, and one day we're going to see her again, and it'll be a great reunion. And so I don't ever advocate talking to children like a cartoon or a fairy tale. I mean, let's speak the truth and emphasize that God loves us, and our loved ones are in a state of happiness if they're with the Lord. And don't gloss over the realities that there is a heaven for those that love Jesus. And in our family, we want everybody to love Jesus. And I found that children can get it. I mean, we speak on their level and try to keep it simple but factual, and they can get it.
Amen. Let me suggest this, Tim. Major on relationships. You know, yes, we know about streets. We hear about the gates of pearl. We hear about the foundation with the 12 jewels. We understand that, and there's nothing wrong with reading that. But major on the relationships. You know, I just know that's what Paul was. He said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things that, you know, just he could not describe and repeat. And but children kind of get relationships that we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to get to be able to visit those people that's gone before us. I want to give you this real quickly, and we'll go to the next caller. Alex and Tim, I found out my grandmother, who died before I was born, prayed that she would have children and grandchildren that would be saved, and then they would become preachers, okay? I can't wait to visit my grandmother in heaven and share with her that I was an answer to her prayer. Those relationships are real there. They're just, and so anyway, that's my thoughts on it. And I do agree with Alex. Don't make it more fairy tale-ish. Make it real. Okay. Thank you again, Tim, for calling and listening. Let's go to Mona. Is it Mona in Mississippi? Mona, yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to say that I listen to y'all's station a lot. I do. A lot of my work is involved in traveling, and y'all are such a blessing. But my question is this. I researched it some, but I do believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I may have that wrong, but where the Bible says that a woman shall be saved through childbirth, and I think I may have an understanding of it, but it's just not that clear, and I haven't had a chance to talk to my pastor, so I thought I would run that by y'all.
Okay, thank you. Let me read that. And it's really 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15, and it's talking about the women in public worship. Let me just say they were having some issues in that day, and even in the church at Philippi that didn't seem to have a lot of problems, they had the relationship with women taken over. That seemed to be an issue. But here's the scripture. It says, "Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." Alex, are they? Is Eve is the one that was first formed, and it's talking about Adam being deceived, was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. But even though she was deceived, God still has a great plan for her, doesn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a fascinating passage in 1 Timothy 2:15 that says, you know, nevertheless, it says, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." Now, let's ask a couple of questions. I know we've got a break coming, so folks, this is so worth talking about. Does this mean that by bearing a child, a woman is born again? Now, we know that can't be true because we know that the Bible says you have to put your faith in Jesus, and if you turn to Christ for salvation, you're born again. So it can't mean, because if we look at the totality of Scripture, it can't mean that physically bearing a child is what gets a woman to heaven. So, Bert, I think this is a lot like Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, you and your house." Now, we've got a break. Stay tuned, because we're gonna finish this thought.
Okay, Mona's asked about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, turn there, and when we come back, we're going to discuss it a little further. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert here, and we'll be back right after the break.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800 326-4543, extension 345. Or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Dr. Tony Evans says even when God doesn't get us out of trouble, He gets us through it. He'll explain why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The sovereignty of God means nothing happens to you unless it passed through God's fingers first. That's what sovereignty means. God is in control, either because He causes it or because He allows it. God did not deliver the three Hebrew boys from entering the fiery furnace. He joined them in the fiery furnace. The fire was still hot. The fire was still fire, but its effect on them was not normal because He joined them in it. If God has not taken you out of it, let Him join you in it so that its effect is changed. All things are working together for good, Romans 8:28, to them who love God. If you are pursuing God in the midst of what He has allowed, do not underestimate the sovereignty of God. That if it got to you, it passed through Him. And therefore, if it passed through Him, allowing it to get to you, He let it get to you for a reason. It's not fate or aimlessness or luck or chance or any of the words that ought not be part of a serious Christian's vocabulary. We don't deal with luck or chance or fate. Those are empty, meaningless words for a Christian when you have a sovereign God who controls all things, no matter how idiosyncratic it seems to be.
God has not only put comfort around you, but inside you. Find out more in Dr. Evans' six-part teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, AFN anchor reporter Chris Woodward beats the press. Plus, we'll ask Hans von Spakovsky if Hillary should be prosecuted, what he thinks about the choice of Senator Sessions for Attorney General, and if President Obama can grant mass amnesty by pardoning groups. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. Are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The word of God is spoken. We are free.
The number is 888-589-8840. We'll get to your Bible questions. Alex McFarland here. Bert Harper, the American Family Radio Network. This is Exploring the Word. Folks, before the break, we were considering a question in 1 Timothy 2:15. What does it mean that the woman will be saved through childbearing? And what we were saying before the break was, what it can't mean is that you're born again by bearing a child. You know, bearing a child is a wonderful thing, but to be saved, you've got to believe in Jesus. And Bert, here's what I wanted to say about this. I think what it means, you have to understand the context. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are all about the local church. Now listen very carefully. In 1 Timothy 5, it says that the younger women bear children, marry, manage their households, do not give the adversary any occasion to slander. In Titus 2, it says that the older women teach the younger women, and it's presuming the older godly women. Now, I'm going to give you my take on this because a lot of people have asked this, and I want your response, Bert. In Acts 16:31, the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your house. Now, does that mean all the household is saved because the one person got saved? No. But what it does mean is that it is much more likely for the wife and kids and relatives to know about Jesus and maybe get saved when the head of the household is a believer. I think in 1 Timothy 2:15, it means that the woman is much more likely to follow the ways of God if she were to be in a community of other godly women, and they're all pointing the younger ones to the Lord, And in bearing a child, they're going to be a part of that community that they, all the mothers hang together, they help each other, they encourage each other. And what it's talking about is, it's presupposing that as you're married and bring forth a family, you're going to be a part of the community of faith, i.e. the church. And in that context, you're going to wind up being a Christ follower yourself.
Okay, I would not disagree with that. Let me just give you a little bit. I still think verse 14 sets this up in a significant way. All of those verses do. But it says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, now that nevertheless is she fell into transgression. But the whole idea is because of that transgression, it seemed like pain became a part of the punishment of that transgression.
Right.
But she can be saved even though that transgression was in the past, but in Christ, even that transgression that brought about pain can bring about great joy. And yes. Again, there's so much here. And I want to say this. I love scriptures that are difficult to know. Mm. Now, don't let that throw you. Let that bring you to a God that is bigger than we are, that knows more than we are. And, you know, I know heaven, our former caller, Tim, was asking about heaven. One of the great things in heaven, one or two things is going to happen. I'm either going to have a lot of these questions like this verse answered, or it will not be important there, or I will know about it there when I get there. Either way, I'm going to be all right. So heaven's going to be, for me, Alex, when I think about besides Jesus and the relationships, is all these things down here that, you know, wait, we're just let me share with you. They're tough. I don't know exactly what they are. There, I'm going to be all right with it up there, and that blesses me.
But amen.
But Mona, thank you for that, and hope that does help you. And I know it has to do with the deception and being in this, like Alex said, this household of faith, and through that, the joy of salvation is available. Even though she was deceived, they don't have to be deceived any longer. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to David. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. My question is from Colossians 2:8, and I won't read the whole verse, but he says the phrase, according to the elementary principles of the world. That Greek word, stachyon or something, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but would you think it would be a misinterpretation to interpret that as common morality?
Okay. Let me read the whole passage. I do that because what we try to teach here, you know, even one word and what you're important is the context of the whole thing and, again, the whole chapter. But what they're talking about in chapter 2 of Colossians, it's talking about Gnosticism and the rudiment things of words and everything. And so they come to chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Now, again, that's the philosophy of the world, and it's empty. They're high-sounding words, but honestly, they're deceptive. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Okay, according to the basic principles. Alex, have you had time to look that Greek word up and to help?
Yes. I'm looking up. The word there is the word from which we get statutes, stoicheia. And it's a fascinating, the whole verse, take heed lest anyone takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit or vain deceit. And by the word deceit there is the word for apostasy. According to the traditions, paradosis, that's the traditions of men, anthropon, humanity, according to the base principles of the world and not according to Christ. So the word there that is translated principles is the word for statutes, human statutes. I don't think it's just basic natural law morality, because that really is of God, the law written on our heart. I think it's talking about the basic principles of a human apart from God. The assumption that, well, I'll never have to answer for the life I live. The man upstairs doesn't care. You know, I'm calling the shots here. You know, the way I see it is the way it is. Or, you know, Bert, if you've ever been sharing the gospel with somebody and, you know, the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And somebody comes back and says, well, you know, in my opinion, the way I see it, if there is a heaven, we'll all get in or something. When somebody places their attitude, their view, their assumption over and above the clear Word of God, that's like the base principles, the human statutes that Colossians 2:8 is warning about, I think.
I agree with you. Look what he's talking about in verse 7 and then in verse 9 and what verse 8 is right between that. And I really do think that'll help, David. It says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in with this given. Notice, as you have been taught. In other words, what Paul is saying, I've been teaching you truth from the Word of God. Don't be sidetracked. The Word says beware, and it says, now he's talking to Christians, don't you be sidetracked that through the philosophy of the world, through empty words, the apostles say, where you'd be drawn aside according to the principles of the world, according to the basic principles of tradition of men. In other words, those are the things. That's kind of a list, guys, of the things that try to get between us and growing in Christ. For it says in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In other words, you don't have to have that stuff, okay? You've got what you've needed. You're built up in him. Your faith is in him. I've taught you these things with thanksgiving, and dwell in him. Don't be sidetracked by the things of the world. And I agree with you that I don't believe it's natural law either. So, David, thank you for being a student. You had to be a student to be able to go that far and look at those words. But don't be sidetracked by the things of the world. Let God continue to guide you. Okay, thank you. Let's stay in Texas and go to John. John, welcome.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I don't get to listen to you guys every day, but when I do, I enjoy it so very much.
Well, thank you, John.
My question comes out of 1 Peter. I'm at church. I'm doing a Bible study on 1 Peter, and I'm into the third chapter. And there it says, and I'm driving, I don't have it right in front of me, but it says, likewise, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. And my question deals with with understanding, and it seems self-evident at first, but the more I think about it, the deeper it gets. And I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that, with understanding.
Okay, I'm going to, my wife and I do these, you know, husband and wife, minister and wife conferences and retreats. This does not, I'm going to do an Alex McFarland. Alex is always coming up. This is what it doesn't mean. Let me just share with you. It doesn't mean that you'll completely understand your wife. You never will. God made women mysteriously, and that's not a complaint. That is exciting to know that you're living with this woman. But I think that is with understanding. It doesn't say understanding them. It says with understanding. Alex, if I understand that right, and I've looked at it pretty significantly, it's talking about you as a husband. You need to understand that your wife is different than you are. I've had my wife saying, Bert, I don't know what's wrong. I cannot tell you exactly, but I know something is wrong. Can I tell you when I've ignored her, even when she did not have the facts, but she had this deeper understanding?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've lived to regret it. So I believe, he says, husbands, you better live with your wives understanding that their, you call it feelings, intuition, whatever it is that they have, you better not ignore it. I know that's part of this.
Well, exactly. You know, I love I love 1 Peter 3 because early in my marriage, I was reading this and it says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. And in my mind, I thought, okay, that means like I got some sense. And it says, you know, as you know, honor your wife as Christ honored the church. And I'm thinking, okay, Christ laid down his life for his bride. We husbands are to lay down our life for our bride. And it goes on, it says that your prayers be not hindered. And Bert, you know, I studied on that for a while and I thought, wow, you know, if I'm not walking with my wife as I should, that's going to impact my walk with the Lord. But I did a word study, and folks, I want you to listen really carefully because this is an example of where the Word of God is so rich. There is a word, and I'm not going to unpack all of the words and all the implications, but you know it says, marriage is honorable in all things, and the bed undefiled. Well, it's talking about that marital intimacy between a husband and wife is you know, honorable in the eyes of God. That very same word that speaks of the deepest level of intimacy between a husband and wife is the word in 1 Peter 3:7 that's translated dwell. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. And the implication, now folks, get your mind around this. As intimate as a husband and wife is on their wedding night, that level of closeness and intimacy should be the state in which you live from now on. Now, obviously, marriage is not one 50-year honeymoon with all of the great things that are associated with honeymoons. And you say, well, wait a minute, no couple ever lived in a perpetual state of intimacy like that. But what it's saying is, because you're both so intimate with Jesus, your marriage state would be a fearless, selfless, unobstructed love intimacy for the duration of the journey together. Now, Bert, isn't that a beautiful image?
It is a beautiful word for that. Let me share with you intimacy. There's five levels of communication, from cliches all the way to intimacy, where you give commentary, where you express feelings, where you express friendship. But the deepest one of these is intimacy. And the only one that it talks about having this kind of relationship with is your spouse. In other words, yep. There's a relationship with your spouse that nobody else has. You're with your mother, with your sister, your brother, your best friend. There's a relationship with your spouse, and it is emotional, it is physical, and it is spiritual. And on that level, he is saying, live with them with this, dwell with them with that kind of understanding. And when you do, your prayers won't be hindered. I don't know how to say it other than a testimony. When that relationship is not what it should be in my life, Alex, I can tell you about my prayer life. It's not what it needs to be. Even from my end, I know it's not, much less what God is hearing. So, man, mm-hmm. John, thank you for that deep question, and Alex and I did our best with it. Hope it gives you some response. But praise the Lord, I still want to say the mysteriousness of the way God made a woman is good, Alex.
Amen.
That side
amen.
Of the female is just unique, and it is a blessing. And praise the Lord for that. This is Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio. We're taking your phone calls today on Fireway Friday. Alex and I will be right back after the break to hear more of your questions.
What's happening towards revival today? I don't believe the post-election season will diminish the prayers of God's people who are coming together to seek Him like never before. I don't think we'll diminish our heart to see God supernaturally intervene in our nation. In fact, I believe that the nation is turning back to the reality of the fact that there's no hope but spiritual intervention. That the economic, the political, the entertainment industry, none of those things are going to come close to move the heart of God. But oh, I believe as God's people continues to seek His face, that God is waiting in all His mercy to pour it out upon His people now like never before. I'm Byron Paulus, Executive Director of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Introducing the colorful new AFA Christmas wristbands. They serve as cheerful reminders of what Christmas is all about. Get a wristband free when you visit afa.net/Christmas. And remember, when you request your free bracelet and order more, you're keeping the American Family Association in the battle to restore Christian values in America. They come in packs of 10, so order several. Stop by afa.net/Christmas today.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. And a lot of people find it attractive that Christianity might be false. And so they tend not to either investigate it, or they dismiss it, or they vociferously object to it because a creator interferes with what they want to do.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
That song without shaking your head or patting your foot, you're a better man than me. Brent and I are in here just going with it, so I love that. Hey, we got some questions. We're going to go straight to the board, and we're going to go to Texas and talk to Daniel. Daniel, welcome to Exploring the Word.
My name is Samuel with an S.
Okay, sorry about that. Samuel, there is a difference every way, biblically and far as enunciation. Welcome, Samuel.
Thank you for having me, guys. Y'all are a blessing. I just want to say real quick, hello to all my brothers and sisters in Christ around the nation.
Amen.
But I have 2 questions, quick ones. I want to know about Alex McFarland's debate in January. Like, how can you watch that or listen to it? Is there any way?
You know, I'll have to find that out. We just had the agreement yesterday, and so when I get all the facts and all the what, when, where, and what website, I'll be sure to let you guys know. But yeah, that's going to be January 14 in Vancouver, Canada. I'll be debating David Silverman, president of American Atheists. So we'll keep you posted. Thanks.
Wow. All righty. Thank you. And then my other question is... David took down a lion and a bear, right?
Yes.
All right. Is there any symbolism in those animals, especially the bear? Because last night I had a dream about a bear. I know the Lord speaks to me a lot through my dreams. And but the dream was like I had a rifle and I was shooting at this bear. This bear was chasing me and I could not kill him. But the bear didn't kill me either. So I was wondering, like, what symbolism in the Bible does it have for a bear?
Okay. Bears are mentioned several times. Matter of fact, bears eating those children or young men, young people that were mocking Elisha. But symbolism, Alex, in David's case, let's just stick to that first and then overall.
Yeah. You know, there's only one, as far as I can remember, you know, use of a lion, and that's referencing Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But every now and then, you know, bears are mentioned in the Bible. And the context of David taking down a bear was 1 Samuel 17, where they're saying, how can you beat Goliath? He says, well, your servant, you know, and he's talking to Eliab, his older brother. You know, he said, hey, I've taken this slingshot and killed a bear and a lion. You know, there's sometimes in Ezekiel, there's a reference to what we think is Russia, and Russia is often associated with a bear. Also in Revelation chapter 13, there is an animal that is thought to be a bear sometimes. But, you know, as far as a bear, as far as I know, it's not ever a positive connotation. What do you say, Bert?
Well, I want to speak in general to it. Be careful. Numerology, animals, and all that, making everything in the Bible symbolic of something else is a dangerous thing, by and large. That's just a stated principle. I know the bear many times associated with Russia. I understand that. But I think David just killed a bear. I think it was a bear, and it was a lion. You know, if he killed a lion, and the lion is a symbol of Judah, you know, it would not make sense. I think the same thing would go with a bear. Samuel, that's my thoughts. And your dreams, brother, listen, I still believe God uses dreams. I know of a lot of Muslims that are having dreams concerning a man that's going to come, and when they tell them about Jesus, they'll say, oh, that's the dream that I had. So I'm not saying God doesn't use dream, but praise God, we have a more perfect word than dreams, and that's the word of God. And but Samuel, thank you, brother. And I'm sorry I got your name wrong. But being called Daniel in place of Samuel, it was bragging on you either way. But go ahead, Alex. I know you got something else
to
say.
Well, you know, David was really equating Goliath to an animal in 1 Samuel 17:36. And he says, look, I've killed a lion and a bear, and this profane Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, is going to be like one of them, dead.
Amen.
Okay. So what did it mean? It meant he was really slamming Goliath.
Okay. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate you listening and calling, brother. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Tom. Tom, welcome.
Well, good afternoon. Good to talk to y'all. My question is about prayer. I'm a relative newcomer to Jesus.
And, well, welcome and to the family, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I listen to you guys almost every day. I mean, I try to, and you guys are great. I was brought to my knees by hardship, and I'm still learning to pray. And so the hardship was the loss of my wife. Excuse me. And I found myself addressing her as if, you know, she could hear me. And that's the crux of my question. I thought, well, you silly boy, that's a little blasphemous. You're not supposed to pray to your wife. You're supposed to pray to God. So next thing I know, I'm saying, yeah, and if you can pass this along to my wife, you know, and it's like, no, he's not your errand boy either. So I just basically, my question is, do people in heaven even concern themselves anymore with goings-on down here and our feelings toward the people we lost? And can we get a message to him in any way? I know that sounds a little silly and a little puerile, but, you know, understand, I've only been saved 4.5 years. I'm still struggling.
Tom, listen, losing your wife, that's one of those, that and losing a child, I don't know of anything that I've ever heard that matches the sorrow. So that's part of it. Alex, let me just share one or two thoughts and then you take it away. Yes, our prayers go to Jesus Christ, okay, and he alone. He's our high priest, okay? I know that, and I believe that with all my heart. The people, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so they're in his presence. I believe with all my heart that those people up there are concerned about those of us down here. I believe that with all my heart as well, Tom. You would not ask Jesus to tell them certain things, But I really believe two things, and let me see what you think about it, Alex. Those that do die, okay, and they go to heaven and they have a reunion, I can't help but believe they would ask, say, how's Bert doing down there? How's Alex doing? And, you know, so I'm not so sure everything's hidden from them about what we're doing down here. I think that those that go on before us, between that loved one that's gone and then between us, may share some of that information. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 says, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race set before us. Much has been speculated about the great cloud of witnesses, and, you know, are they watching from the grandstands of heaven? You know, Bert, I do think that this church age is a little bit different than the time when the body of Christ will be complete and the last person saved is gathered in and we're all in heaven. One of the questions is, can the people in heaven see what's going on here on earth? And it's a definite maybe. So they're in a perfect state of bliss with Jesus. There's no tears in heaven, ultimately. I think as a believer, and only time can cultivate this in you, and God will do this. If you'll walk with the Lord, this will come. And it's fine to grieve, and quite understandable. But I would caution you strongly against, you know, trying to communicate a message to her or something like that. Know that she is eternally safe with the Lord. You're going to be with her again as a believer. Walk with Jesus. Ruminate and grow in the knowledge that you're in the palm of His hand. He's the God of all comfort. Remember David said of his departed child, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And that was his comfort, that one day he would see him again. And that's our comfort as well, that our loved ones who died in Christ, we will see them again.
Amen. Again, thank you so much, Tom, and thank you for keep growing in the Lord. And Alex and I'll do this, make this promise. Keep listening, and we're going to try to feed you the Word of God. Find, make sure you're a part of a fellowship somewhere where you can feed upon the Word of God and have accountability with them. But praise the Lord that you're still growing in Christ, even after the difficult death of your wife. May you continue to do so. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I have a question about, I'm a Christian. I go to...
We lost Jeffrey some way or other. Jeffrey, if you'll try to call back, we'll get you on right after Arthur from West Virginia. Arthur, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks, Bert. I really appreciate it. And I'm going to, after I ask you my question, I'm going to hang up and listen to it on the radio so both my wife and I can hear it. A while back, several calls back, you were saying that when Eve was tempted, she fell into sin, and so I was wondering, therefore, when she tempted Adam, did he fall into sin? And I've always looked at it as she made a choice to accept the temptation, which Adam also made the choice. So I'd like you guys, Alex and Bert, to just comment on the difference between falling into sin and what that means as opposed to someone making a choice to commit a sin. So you guys keep up the good work, keep spreading the word, and I'll listen for your answer.
Amen. Thank you, Arthur. Now, here where we were at, Alex, we were talking about deception, being deceived. It did not say Adam did not sin. It said Adam, that Eve was deceived. You know, Adam, did he? I think he sinned as much as Eve did, you know, by being mm-hmm. there close. It doesn't sound like Eve had to run him down to make him eat that fruit, you know?
Yeah.
It was equal opportunity and equal access and equal participation, wasn't it?
Absolutely. In Genesis 3:6, it says, "The woman saw that the tree's fruit was good to eat and pleasing to look at. She also saw that it would make a person wise. She took some of the fruit and ate it, gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it." All right, three things. Number one, Adam was with her, and we don't want all the blame to fall on Eve, although the serpent deceived her. But Adam was with her, and Adam ate too, so he was absolutely complicit. Now, we talk about the fall, but there are fallings, and we can fall into sin. We are fallen, but we can also fall, because she legitimized in her mind why she would choose not to trust what God had said. But let me just say this, Bert. Let me ask a question. Bert, let's say Adam and Eve reach for the fruit, but they couldn't reach it. But they were stretching up their hand, and they would have got it, but they couldn't have grabbed it. Would there still have been guilt in their heart, even if they couldn't reach high enough to grab that apple, but they were stretching and trying to grab it? Would there still have been guilt?
Using Jesus as the example, he said, "You have sinned in your hearts." So right. That's where the first sin goes. Now, after you sin there, you don't have to complete the sin in actions. You know what I mean? You don't have to go there. But yes, the sin had already had taken root and was started.
There was intent.
Yes.
Let's say that you decide that you're going to get drunk this weekend. And you get in the car and you drive to the liquor store, but the liquor store's closed. There was intent in your heart, wasn't there?
There was. But guess what happened? It was cut short. It's always to cut sin short, isn't it?
Yes. And so let me say, the falling into sin, when you choose to sin, the direction is always downward. Fall is the appropriate word, isn't it?
It is. Arthur, thank you for that. We hope you and your wife heard that. And, I heard this, and let me just say it real quickly. It wasn't the fruit on the tree that was the real problem. It was the pear on the ground. You get
a good pun.
You get
yes,
the humor. Okay,
true.
Okay. With that pun, we're going to try to get one more call in, go to Texas, and talk to Watson. Watson, welcome.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Bert. We'll do real quick because that's how we have to play today. Anyway, gentlemen, I'm gonna need both of y'all to help me on this. In regards to hell, are the three? It's Hades, and then the final is the lake of fire. What am I leaving out on the other? There's one other place before we get to like one of the other, before Hades, I think, that they refer to as hell, just like where there's supposedly three heavens.
Okay. Okay, Watts, we're going to try to, Alex, take that away real quickly if you got the idea of what he was asking.
There's a word that's really only used one place, and that's Tartarus in 2 Peter 2:4. It talks about demons are cast down to the deepest judgment of darkness, Tartarus. But apparently that's not a place that humans go. There's Sheol, that's just the grave. There's Gehenna, and there's Hades, which is a place of torment. Matthew 11:23, Luke 10:15. I've got a document I created with all the biblical words that are ever used that reference hell. And I'm going to email that to Brent. Maybe he can put it up on the Facebook page.
Okay, well, he'll do that. Alex, hope you have a great weekend, brother.
God bless you. Folks, go to church Sunday and try to take somebody with you. It's
Amen.
Thanksgiving. Let's be grateful.
Amen. What a time to be grateful. Again, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. We appreciate you so much. Tony Perkins is coming up next, so be sure and listen to him. But tell someone about Exploring the Word in American Family Radio, but more importantly, tell someone about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.